Okay? What are you doing?
I'm trying to fix this microphone. It's not the way I want it to be.
Why is it not the way you want it to be?
It's too loose. There we go. I'm in a new position. And so I want to make sure the mic is... It keeps dangling off my little thing.
Got a little dangly mic?
I got a little dangly mic. Doesn't I got to stay strong. I got to arouse it somehow. I got to say, hey, stay aroused.
I think that's the way that works.
How do I arouse a mic? Let me know down in the comments down below. What's your situation over there?
My brain just went to like people named Mike, and I'm just like, oh, you're going to get a lot of
Mike Falzone, tell us how you get aroused in the comments below.
Yeah, let us know, Mike Falzone.
Somebody send Mike Falzone here to the comments below so we can... We can find out how
he
gets aroused.
You think he would rejudge our setup right now? You think
he's going to judge us no matter what?
Mike Falzone both loves us and hates us.
Yes, that's what we. That's why
that's
we
why
love.
Love
him.
And yeah,
he pushes us to become better people.
I've never become a better person.
Oops.
Whoops.
Okay.
Welcome back to We Stayed Late. This is the podcast of SourceFed survivors trying to make it through the life in the world of Group 9. That's pretty much it, right?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So
that still doesn't tell anybody new what this is.
Yeah.
Those are all just gobbledygook for anybody that has no idea what any of those things are.
How would you describe this show to someone who's brand new, who is not part of the old SourceFed fandom? And say those people wanted to share this podcast with new people.
Ooh, I'd say no.
Ooh, I'd say nah. What do you want to talk about now?
by the way, I'm Starlene Hodge.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Spencer Stark. Look at that. We went in reverse order this
I know.
Time. It kind of threw us off for a second.
I got a little scared, but it's okay. I'm in a new position, so it's keeping me safe.
How would we describe it? I think it's a podcast. Am I alone and just sitting normal? Okay, that's fine with me. It's a podcast about people in the digital media industry.
There you go.
Talking about their lives and their work.
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
This episode is brought to you by FHP/...
FHP.com.
That's going to be such a search. I think it's like FH... If I had to guess, it's like...
For the human. Point I'm trying to make is we got merch.
We got merch in our For Human People store.
In our For Human Peoples.
Hold on.
If you don't know what merchandise is, if you had to tell someone what merchandise was for the first time, what would you say?
It's shit that we branded that you can wear.
Up!
It's forhumanpeoples.com/collection/we-stayed-late.
Did you get that? If you didn't get that, I don't blame you.
I need you to...
It's on the... Is it on our Twitter?
I don't know. I haven't.
Just go back 10 seconds, 30 seconds. You know that little button
hit that
you push?
15, yeah, that 15 reverse.
Yeah.
They're going to hit the 15 ahead to get
Oops.
To the actual conversation now.
All right, let's start the conversation. What are we even talking about today?
Okay, guys, I've been waiting all week because I didn't want to say anything.
Look at you coming out with surprises all the time.
I've been watching Game of Thrones. I'm on season 2, episode 6.
Oh, no! Are you serious?
What?
Yes. And I've been dying to tell you, but I haven't told you because I wanted to. I just got hit with a bounce.
Things that you have.
That's amazing.
I'm dying. Help me.
Oh, my God.
It's so fucking good.
It is really good. Good. Now we... Well, you know what? You're going to be...
Wait, hold on. Let me just enjoy the little moment of like...
It's so good.
How
I've been binging
wait,
it.
Wait. Did you have any spoilers by the end of season one?
What do you mean? I mean...
Did you know?
He knows what happens.
I know what... I mean, I didn't know. I knew nothing.
You knew nothing.
Zero. The only thing I know are...
Hello.
Hello, we have somebody visiting.
Oh.
Elise
works with us.
She's telling us to be quiet.
You have to be more quiet. Guys,
really excited. Spencer's watching Game of Thrones.
It's the first time I've ever watched Game of Thrones.
What are your thoughts on this?
I love Game of Thrones.
She loves? Was it our initial scream that was too loud?
Yeah, it was the initial scream.
For the listeners at home, we're still gauging our volume level here.
Because the walls are supposed to be soundproof, but they're not.
Yeah.
She's out. Well, it's 6:22. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. It's
so
good.
I'm so glad you're watching it, but there's a part of me that's real mad because since you are so spoiler-free to it, to neglect us the joy of seeing you be shocked or hearing you be shocked about things that are going on is a bummer.
Oh. So here's the thing.
You recorded yourself.
No. That would be awesome. No, I binged the first. Okay, so this week, I remember I was telling you I went from doing like lots of things.
Uh-huh.
Like, so I binged.
That's what you were doing.
So I was like working on stuff too, uh-huh. but then I have to go back and watch another episode.
Yeah.
So I binged the entire first season this weekend, this past weekend.
Now you love
every,
that song.
From
huh?
now on, this yeah. is every episode you watch, I want like a text or a Slack message okay. or something, commentary, reaction.
So the last one I watched.
I won't say anything.
Okay.
I just need the feedback because I can't relive the show
right,
ever again
right,
like
right.
in that way. So I'm like a leech and like need to absorb it from other people. So you yeah, I need feedback.
If you haven't watched Game of Thrones and you don't want a spoiler, skip ahead 15 seconds.
No, bullshit. It's been out forever. I'm so surprised
yes.
you didn't have spoilers.
Oh. Oh, it makes me so happy.
Isn't that a great theme song?
It's a great theme. Here's the thing. I've been listening to the music since it came out. Like, I write to the music. It's so
it's
cool now.
Yeah.
It's cool now because I hear a song and I'm like, oh, I've written to that song. Because I have the soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were listening to it before.
Yeah,
you
I was listening
it.
To it before I watched it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now
yeah.
I hear the song and I'm like, oh, wow, that
What's
song.
Your favorite house so far?
I mean, I'm biased.
I mean, yeah.
It's Stark.
Okay, good. But yeah. still, like, I'm just, I mean, you get some basic houses in the beginning.
Yeah.
You got your Lannisters.
You got
your
Greyjoys.
Starks, you got your Greyjoys.
Man,
you got your Baratheons.
I did not like, what's his name? I feel so embarrassed. I don't remember his name. Help
Theon?
Me. Help me. Lannister.
One?
Tyrion?
No.
Jamie?
I did not like Jamie when I first
no,
met him.
No, fuck Jamie. Jamie's a fucking asshole.
Oh my god,
this
you
is
sweet
so
summer
great.
Child. This is the best.
This is the best. I hated
so
Jamie.
It's so
I
good.
Hate Jamie.
Hey, Jamie's the worst, right? At the beginning.
At the beginning, he's the worst. When, okay, skip it. Okay, now for real, if you don't want spoilers, skip ahead 15 seconds. When Ned.
Yeah.
Neddard died? Neddard?
Yes. His name is Eddard, but he's called Ned.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. I was so confused about why. Anyway, when he died, I was so sad.
And it was very
sad. It killed
sad.
Me.
And that reveal, like, it doesn't
the Joffrey
you don't even
reveal,
show it
yeah.
all the way either. I was like. And
so
then
you
it
had
cuts.
No idea that was coming.
No.
Oh my God, you're so fresh.
I had no clue.
You're so, so fresh. Even when I went into it, I knew
and
that was
no.
happening.
And he was the, I think I knew that too. He was the title character. Like, he's
yeah.
the first build.
He's the
person.
Main character.
You should have suspected when it was Sean Bean.
Well, I was like, he is perfect for this part. I mean, like, he was so perfect for that part. And then he died, and I was like, well, fuck me.
But you know what? Like, watching this new season, and they always. The Starks always talk about their dad because he's
yeah.
kind of like that shining light example of
right.
who they need to be. And every time they talk about him, it's just like, oh,
your heart
yeah.
goes out. You're like, fuck yeah,
yeah
it's
yeah,
Ned,
I
man.
Do miss him.
And then,
I miss him.
And then it's funny
everyone
because
misses
yeah,
him. Like every, we all and the way
I already
he,
miss him.
The way
it hasn't
he
been that long.
The way he plays it, it's just so like
his performance lives through like even just I mean, I know it hasn't been a long time
yeah.
for me, but like his performance lives through the other episodes, even though he's not
so wait,
there.
Where are you in season two?
Episode 6. So what okay. just happened? They just did the regrouping episode where everybody's kind of where what's his name gets stabbed. The other
the
youngest son of the youngest Baratheon.
The youngest Baratheon
gets stabbed and dies, and they all join up
okay,
with
you're talking about with a Brienne. Like Brienne was
yes,
yes.
yeah.
Oh, season two. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm
wait.
There.
So somewhere from where you're at. I know this has turned into Game of Thrones, but
sorry.
I don't care. This is like one of my
and
favorite
And if you
things.
Haven't seen it, it's been years.
Go watch
since
it.
Since season one.
Here's the thing. I was going to wait. I'm going to watch them all before the next season.
So you're going to wait the 2 years with us?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's great is I didn't realize it was 2 years. Because I just watched the last
that
episode 3 days ago.
That means you guys
get
to read the book.
Hell yeah.
But also, I'm hesitant to recommend the books at this point because, not because they're bad. They're excellent books. It's because I don't think we're going to get the books.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen. However, once you go through the show and you're going to need your fix and you're going to need to see the structures of how all these storylines were really supposed to go because the books are definitely way better. Yeah, like it's just you're going to need to fulfill the need.
The need
needs to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Wait. So who's your favorite right now?
My favorite character?
Yes.
Arya, for sure.
Okay, cool.
She's the fucking best.
Yeah.
She's my favorite. She kicks ass.
She's so cute in that first season. They had
she's
like
so
flashbacks.
Little.
She's
like a little bugger. Like
she's
a little baby.
So
they're
little.
All so tiny.
So
like, the
okay.
show's been on for like almost like 6-7 years now, and so like everyone's aged up, and you're like, oh, God. And when you see pictures, you're like, oh my God, you guys were so itty bitty.
First off, John looks. I think John has grown into his. He's looked more of a man.
Yeah, he was. Here's the thing. I mean, I know Kit not personally, but I know like what he looks like, and I know him as an actor, and like, so I know him now.
Yeah.
And so watching him back then, I was like, oh,
they're all babies.
You're a little baby. He's got a little chubby face, and he's like,
yeah, he's like a little
baby. He's like a little child. It's really funny. I didn't know anybody else. And then, okay, it was really interesting because I was analyzing it as I was watching. Ooh, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
So I was analyzing it as I was watching it because that's all I can do ever. Uh-huh. And Hannah's been watching it with me. And so she was like, do you think there's, because we had, I mean, literally, I avoided anything. So we're like, do we think we're going to get dragons? And because they're dragon eggs.
How do you not know that they were dragons?
Wait, do you think you're going to get dragons? But, do you think you're going to get some dragons?
But we did. Well, we got them in the first
season. One. Yeah.
Okay. And so, we didn't know if we were going to get dragons. When we were going to. I mean, I kind of knew we would get dragons at some point because I figured it would happen.
Yeah.
But we didn't know when they were going to be introduced or what circumstance we were going to get them in. But when we got the dragon eggs.
I'm like just absorbing. I'm like, you're so new.
What's her name? Targaryen. Khaleesi. What's her real
Daenerys.
Name?
Daenerys
Targaryen. Yes. Yeah, Stormborn. Ooh. First of her name. I don't know the rest of all.
When she
breaker
when,
of chains.
Right? He might not I be know there
that
yet.
Oh, yeah. Oops. She's like, not the breaker of chains yet.
when she gets the dragon eggs. That's when we were like. That's when Hannah was like, do you think we're going to get dragons? Do you think she's going to have like what? And I was like, those dragon eggs are Chekhov's gun. Do you know what Chekhov's gun is?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Those dragon eggs were like the epitome of Chekhov's gun where it's like, if you don't fucking give me dragons after you introduce me to dragon eggs that are stone, quote, mm-hmm. that are stone.
That she just happens to keep in like hot water all the time. She's just all constantly like, I like these things.
If you don't
They're
fucking
warm.
Give me dragons, I'm going to be pissed. And then we got dragons. And I was like, this is the greatest show.
This is a great babies.
Yeah. It was a great, it was, oh.
My only like
it's everything I love about
I wish,
about story.
I
it's
wish
so
they would
good.
Give them more of a budget. You think they give them a lot of money for the show, but I
10
I,
million, 10 million an episode.
I genuinely wish they had more 6
million
budget
in these
for
ones.
The effects just in general cuz I wanted more direwolves. You don't get as many
No,
as much
especially
direwolves.
In the first season they killed all of them. They killed all of them except for like 2 or 3. I'm sure some of them come back.
It's,
but
it's
yeah, they didn't kill all of them.
But
right.
they, yeah,
it
they didn't kill all of
them.
But they killed
the
a bunch
they,
of them.
They followed it through but like
and got rid of a bunch of them.
But like those things are like they're supposed to be like huge. Like they're not like I mean, season one they're puppies.
They look like
so they
just...
look like regular wolves, yeah. But those are puppies.
Yeah,
they're supposed to be like these gigantic, monstrous, like almost rideable wolf dogs. And
I kind of got that when Arya said in season two, she said when she was describing to Tywin Lannister uh-huh. when he asks what do the people think of Jon Snow and she says that he rides on the back of wolves and I was like that he rides on the back
yeah,
of a
yeah,
wolf
yeah.
and I was like oh those are gonna get huge
and the show unfortunately like you see them every once in a while but just not as often as I personally would love to see them and as often as like It's such a part of the Stark brand to have these wolves with them like all the fucking time.
They need
like,
that dragon money though.
They do, and that's the thing.
And goes, White Walker money, I'm sure. I don't know, but I assume
it definitely goes to dragon money. And I mean, it's fine. It's worth it.
Why don't
it.
The Lannisters have their lions? The Starks have their wolves. Daenerys has her dragon.
Because you can't really train big cats. Like they're still big.
But
cats.
Okay, so I was, it's interesting. I was reading about George Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And
Grimm.
What'd you say?
Grimm.
What do you
Grimm.
George R. R. Martin.
Oh, okay. Grimm. 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 Have a little Grimm.
Have a little Grimm.
I was reading about him. He was sick of writing for TV and movies where budget was a limit, so he basically wrote something that would be unshootable. Like, that was his whole goal, was to just write something that nobody would ever be able to make into
sense.
Anything.
Yeah.
And then they tried to make it into a show where they just followed... they pitched him a show where they just followed the Starks or just followed the Lannisters or like just followed certain storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, you're not going to do it if you're not going to do the whole thing. And then I guess finally HBO was like, we'll throw down $6 million an episode and actually do the damn thing. And they've gone from $6 to $10 million an episode in the past.
Oh yeah, they're making bank.
Did you know that George R. R. Martin is a huge football fan?
No way.
He loves the Giants. He loves the Jets, I think. And he named
he needs to fucking write his books. That's what he needs to do. And,
he named a character after a football player.
Oh my god.
His name is
1-1
because his number was 1-1.
Oh,
11.
Oh, 1-1.
Yeah,
oh.
Because he had the jersey 11 and that was like his favorite player. So he called it 1-1.
That's actually dope.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wait till you get to 1-1.
So nerds, you too can be sports fans. Don't let those nerds bring you down you don't like sports. They're a bunch of bullies. I understand. You don't let those nerd bullies tell you can't love sports nerds, okay? Nerds can love sports too. Ding. That's when we'd have a thing.
Okay, but you're not going to, we can't put that in.
No,
we won't have time.
We're not going to.
I used to be one of these people that would be very adamant about like, let George take his time writing the books. It's fine. Like, yeah.
But he's going to die.
But it's not even that to the point. I'm more mad on like how, like on a pure, are you that lazy kind of thing? Like he's writing weird spin-off shows and like he's writing things that are not Game of Thrones. And
what is he writing?
He's writing like side stories.
For where are they going?
Exactly.
Wait, literally where are they going? Are they just short stories?
He puts a couple things on his live journal here and there and it's just like, what are you doing? Mind you, from books 4 to 5, that was literally a 10-year gap.
Oh my god.
And 4 and 5 are the same timeline. Like, there's people who've put the chapters together so it actually goes in order. That was supposed to be one book and he split it, which is why like 4 and 5 are not like the favorites of people because you know how the books are written, right? By like how
each chapter is its own character.
Each chapter is told by a different perspective. It's all one person perspective, but each chapter is a different character.
Got it. But they jump between, like, you might go see John twice.
Yeah.
It isn't a new character every time.
No, it's like each book, like you get like maybe about six characters.
Is it told in first person or is it told in third person but focusing on a person?
First person.
So I went to do this. I went to do that.
No, Arya. It's like Arya
went to go
there.
Third person, but it's limited.
To the perspective of that character.
Third person, limited, whatever that's called.
Yeah. So you start, you know, first book, you start off with you have your Ned, you have your I don't think you get Sansa, you got your Arya, you get Jon, you get Tyrion.
Can I say this real quick? Sansa, fucking awful. She's the worst.
We had this conversation.
She's the worst.
We had this conversation earlier, me and Star.
Star is circling and coming back.
For the listeners at home, Star is circling around in a mad fury and fit.
Okay, but here's the thing. You have to realize
I'm forgiving you just because you're
I'm
on
only
season
on
one.
Season two.
I know.
Season one, season two. I'm going to forgive you for that
right now. Yeah. Here's the only thing that I can say that's redeemable about what she's done is that she has been able to keep herself alive.
That's the point.
I know, but I'm saying like that's the only.
I want to rewatch this again.
I'm just saying, that's the point.
Right, but
that's it.
But everything we've seen of her so far has been like she's not trying to help her family.
Yeah.
Very much at all. So it's been.
Ooh, I could. I'm not. I'm gonna hold it in because I want you to enjoy the show. I want you to just
podcast lasts for 2 more years and we have the Game of Thrones series finale. Oh boy.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be lit.
But you have to realize I'm coming from a completely different place because I've only watched part of season 2.
Even I'm still judging you a little bit.
I had the same opinion you did we had this conversation about it.
Yeah. No.
I'm still judging you a little bit because this is a thing that everyone does and it's also part of the point of the characters is that particularly like with female characters and all that stuff, everyone likes to essentially you pick the characters that end up acting a little bit more masculine as the favorites. Tomboy girl characters tend to be more favorites than the girly girls because everyone thinks the girly girl characters are useless. It's not my point. This for my Sansa, even season one, even though she's a brat, she is a brat.
She's the worst. She drives me insane.
Even my season one defense of Sansa is that just because she's not acting like Arya does not mean she's worse. It's literally she's literally a different person.
Right.
And it's nice that there's different
people. But she's not a good person.
People. She's in the show, she's 13.
Yeah, but she's still
a 13-year-old girl who Ned and Catelyn both spoiled so heavily.
Right. But that doesn't but it doesn't matter how much she was spoiled, doesn't matter any of that. She's still not very nice to her parents. She's not very nice. She's staying alive, and that's all she's doing. And given what all of the other characters are doing, it feels like she's trying to do is survive, and she's not moving. She's not pushing things forward, and that's okay.
Spencer Stark, you know nothing. Have you gotten to that part?
Also, no, none of the other characters would survive in Sansa's spot.
That's what I'm saying. Watching the situation, it's like I'm judging it based on who is. Yeah, she isn't doing anything to help, and so she's only keeping alive for herself, which is fine because honestly, I'd probably do the same thing if I was in her situation. But looking at all the other characters, I'm like, they're all actively going after something, and she is not. She is just trying to survive. I mean, I don't know what that's what I said. I don't know what I would do, but that's how she's the worst. She's the worst.
She literally can't.
I don't care if you can't. There's so many things Arya shouldn't be able to do. There's so many things that Catelyn shouldn't be able to do, and she does.
What is Arya doing at this point in season two?
She's the what is it? Cup maiden.
She's Tywin's.
Yeah, that's the conversation they had about Jon.
Oh, really? I forgot about that. Yeah.
So. Anyway, it's been 22 minutes of Game of Thrones.
I'm looking at Luis like there's a moment later on in the season, later seasons where like there's a thing. Anyway,
you need to go in that spoiler slack.
I'm trying to hold it in. But here's the thing. But I'm also coming from the perspective like Arya and Sansa are both my favorites. Like I can't pick between the two.
Well, Sansa probably will get better for me.
Essentially the beginning of it. Mind you, book wise and everything too. Like you get Sansa's perspective also in the book, so you're in her head. So me watching the show, I know it's in her head. But I also know what's in Arya's head too. So knowing what's going on in both of their like state of mind, at least for me, that's what made me attach myself obviously to both of them. In the show, you can't really get what's going on and what they're thinking as they're both trying to survive their situations. So that's why so for me, they're like the Stark girls are my girls. Like I love them so much. So much. They're my favorites.
I love Sam, too.
So I'm just a very... Sam's great. Sam's...
Oh. I have a friend who hates Sam. I don't get it. He's like, I fucking hate Sam.
Sam?
How do you hate Sam? I don't know. I wish I could bring him on the podcast so you could talk about it.
Sam Tarly's the shit.
Okay, we've been talking about Game of Thrones for 20 minutes. We should probably move off Game of Thrones. Okay.
Fine, but you know what? When the final season comes out, we'll have a spinoff podcast. We'll do a spinoff,
like just a couple episodes on here that are just about that.
Spencer, I super need you to read the books.
I don't know if I'll have time.
So on Audible, there are 33 hours for the first book, which I also learned Stephen King's is longer than the Game of Thrones first book, which is insane.
It's crazy. I have it.
Huh.
I just haven't listened to it. The Audible? It's long.
It's 33 hours. Yeah, what is that?
It's really good.
I think in a month I could get
it. I have so many other things I'm listening to and reading.
Also, I think Audible, the first versions of the audiobooks, because they updated them, I think they redid them after the show came out.
Oh, really?
Because
I'll have to get those.
The first versions, the pronunciations of the names are all different than what's on the show.
Oh, no
way.
Like Brienne on the show, like for me, Brianna. My brain goes Brienne. Brienne is how it was pronounced in the books for so long that like, I'm like, oh, everyone's Brienne. I'm like, no, but she's Brienne. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, at Brian, least that's the one that's
like the grunge? Hermione. When I was reading it, I didn't pronounce it Hermione. I remember how I pronounced it, but Hermione? I just remember that was a surprise.
Hermione? I was a Hermione for a while.
You were Hermione? Yeah. Yeah. See, I think, I don't know what, I remember what I was, but I just remember that wasn't how I pronounced it. Now it's like ingrained in me. Okay. Let me read a question. So
I mean,
that
we could move on to Potter too. If this is,
I know. I just started reading the first book.
Okay. Okay. So we have to talk about that. We have to talk about that. Okay.
I'm in the middle of it though, because it's
the middle of the first book.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at the part where, this is all flipping. I'm at the part where they have the little Quidditch.
Oh yeah, they're
in the middle of the Quidditch game, and like,
wait, Snape, in the Quidditch game?
Yeah, and Snape's doing this thing.
Do you understand Quidditch?
I think I do. There's a lot of moving pieces, but I think I do. It's pretty simple. There's like a whole that whole chapter is like, okay, let me just break it down to you.
Yeah.
What Quidditch is, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like this. No, it's like this. I'm at the part where Snape's doing his thing.
Right. Yeah.
And they think it's bad, and then I stopped reading because I had to go home. But yeah, no, it's fucking good.
I have
it's
the audio
good.
Books of that too. The British
versions. I just got it. The British versions.
It's better. It's way better.
Oh, I just got it on Audible.
But that might be the British versions.
Okay, I hope so.
But
who's reading it?
I don't know. Let me find out. But it's really good. I thought her. I didn't. Like, they slowly brought out Hermione.
She's in a bunch in the first.
Are you saying? Are they saying Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone?
I've been trying hard to get the Philosopher's Stone.
Like. No, but I'm saying like the audio version.
Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, then you have the American one.
Wait, who's reading it?
Are there British people talking? Narrated by Jim Dale.
Oh, you'll be fine. Jim's great.
He's fine, but it's not, I don't know. The British guy's better.
Jim's fine. That's what I grew up with. Was
you grew
Jim.
Up with Jim?
Yeah.
Jimbo?
Yeah, I grew up with Jim.
I was hardcore and only listened to the British audio.
But yeah, no.
I had no idea when I was a kid.
If you have
so.
It, like, send it to me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
But I thought Hermione really slow, looks like a slow rise to her. Uh-huh. I thought she was going to come in because him and Ron hit it off really well. And then Hermione.
They were bros like.
Yeah, like right away. And Hermione just chips in like. She's like putters in with her thing.
Yeah.
And then when the troll comes in and then they kind of have like, oh.
They have
like a little.
Yeah.
You know, they finally join forces, and then time passes, and it's like, okay, and so. But yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's really enjoyable to read. I think if you read it for the first time without Harry Potter being in the world, the way that it – first off, I love that chapter, and I would love to make just that first chapter where it talks about the people that he stays with and the family.
Oh,
the Dursleys?
The Dursleys.
The Dursleys.
Those pieces of shit.
I know. I feel like when I read it, it felt like a older, like Tim Burton version being made. You know, if I could just see that, that'd have been so cool. But the way it develops the world, the way it builds off from this tiny, like normalcy, and it slowly starts adding
devolves into
fantasy things and how you can like. First there's like weird cat, and then you start going into the like little place where everything's bought, and then you can go into a wall to go to the train, and then you have this thing, and then it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus, when does it stop?
It's so cool.
And like halfway through, and you're like, we're still world building almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we're.
I mean, once, because you think the world, because for me, when I was reading it, and I remember because it had such an impact on me when I was reading it that it's still so fresh. And I just did a reread too, so that helped because it brought back everything. But like when we got to Diagon Alley, I was like, wow, look at all this world building. And then we got to Hogwarts and I was like, fuck!
Yeah.
What is happening?
It keeps going. It's like, okay, now you have to go, like the train yard is in between 7 and 8.
Yeah.
7 3/4, uh-huh. Whatever. That's probably wrong.
9 3/4.
Okay, there you go. But it's like, like that, just that simple concept of an idea.
Yeah.
Like it keeps, there's so many small details.
I can't wait for both of you guys to get so much further along in both of your perspective new fandoms.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. Like you're going to like, you're so excited now and you haven't even.
There's so much cool stuff that's going to happen.
Like you haven't gotten like the history shit. Like,
there's
like
so much cool.
You've got so much to look forward to. And then you need to get further along.
I'm watching an episode every night.
Yeah.
I want like
every night. I've devoted an hour.
One commentary thing on Slack.
Every time I watch an episode?
I won't say anything. I just need the feedback. But you too. But like you're not, it's different with the books.
Yeah, the book. Yeah.
The books, it's like.
They don't have as many cliffhangers at the end of each one.
Yeah.
The chapters.
I guess I
everything
should give
moves
a note.
Pretty. Everything moves pretty slow in that book, like relatively slow
it's,
at the beginning, and then it ramps up. Like,
but the way she writes
the
way she writes the characters' dialogue, and even like it's so quirky and funny, and they all sound very different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They like, really have true in, like, voices.
Yeah, so the voices of it are very different.
Did you know that she was basically? I just learned this. I knew that she kind of fell on hard times before she wrote Harry Potter. But did you know that she was like practically homeless?
She was on welfare.
She was on welfare, but she said she was the poorest you could possibly be without being homeless. And she got married early, and then her and her husband got divorced like 2 months after they got married. They had a daughter, I think. Yeah, daughter.
Mm-hmm. If she had a son, she would have named him Harry.
Yeah. And so they she had a daughter, and about 2 months into their marriage, they broke up, and so she basically had nothing, and she had this daughter she had to take care of, and she had written a couple, like, during the divorce, she had started writing Harry Potter, and then she left and moved somewhere else. I don't know where she went, but she left where she was and moved somewhere else just basically wrote on napkins. And then she wrote the whole thing. Well, I don't know if she wrote the whole thing by hand, but she wrote a lot of it by hand, and then she rewrote it on a fucking typewriter.
What?
It was written on a typewriter. She didn't have a computer. Yeah. She didn't have money.
That's dope.
So cool. And then she became one of the richest women in Europe. Yeah. And one of the and I think the most successful author in Europe. Being homeless to that. It's amazing. It's so cool.
She's outside of, like, because technically the Queen of England is like the richest woman just because she technically owns.
She definitely isn't the richest woman, but she is one of the.
Outside of the royal family, she is the richest woman in the UK. Yeah.
She's definitely, like, as it writes, it just keeps going. Like, it's like a train that just, like, I'm going to keep going and going. You can feel, like, just the force keep going. Like, we don't take time to stop.
Well, and it's cool because once you get to the end, you'll kind of see the way that she clearly planned everything out. Yeah. But it's interesting to me because it's either people are really, really good planners or they do what I think most of them do, which is you write it and you get to the end and you go, ooh, here's all the things that I'm going to hint at the beginning. You do a rewrite, write all those scenes. You do the general plant and payoff. There's all these little things throughout all of the books that they plant, even from the very beginning to the very end, that she clearly was like, okay, I'm going to go back and revise that based on new info I have from this thing that I wrote. You know, and you just get these small, like, plant and payoffs that are just fucking brilliant. And so you'll see, like, you'll see what I mean. But it's so cool.
I can't wait. Oh, man. You guys, it's so good. It's so good.
That style, the cast of Breaking, or the writers of Breaking Bad do. So, like, when they were doing their season, like, their last season split, like, they split it, their season. They didn't know, they did a flash forward. And they didn't know how they were going to get there, but they know that that's where they wanted to be. And then they just, like, they wrote themselves in a corner, and then they made this
had
awesome.
To find it.
Because they like, the whole concept was, like, they know they want to get, like, from a Mr. Rogers character all the way to, like, Scarface. Like, we know we want to do that.
Right.
So that's but, like, just certain things and things that they were, like, hinting off for next season, that, like you said, they wrote them in a corner. They took the history of everything they wrote in the past seasons and applied it to the new season.
Yeah.
You know? So
it's so fucking cool. It's so awesome. Okay, I'm gonna pose a question. It's kind of a hard question. So we'll see if we can come up with anything. I think I might have something that sort of applies. But Daisy Rundell, one of our hey, if you're not on the Slack, go get on the Slack.
Yeah,
we got
Slack.
Regulars on the Slack, like Daisy.
Like Daisy. We talked about Black Mirror once.
You and Daisy?
Yeah.
Black Mirror's amazing.
It is amazing.
I don't watch Black Mirror.
What?
It's spooky. It's too spooky for me.
It's not spooky.
It's spooky. Like, it's like spooky. Like it's heady and all the instant of creepy, creepy heady. I don't like.
It's
creepy.
Okay. There's another person on Slack who didn't like it either.
I don't like creepy heady stuff.
I really like it. Okay. She asked, "Are there any things that you remember about your childhood and only now realize what it means?"
You gotta give me more time.
That's what I said. It's a hard one.
So I remember there was. I mean. I don't know if this counts, but I watched Honey, We Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
And what happened? There's a scene where this kid, I think, brings another person back to life. They do the CPR.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway, I think they do CPR. They save him or they kiss him. And they're like, oh, where did they learn that? And this person's like, French class.
Oh, and it's like a French kiss?
I don't get it. Yeah, but it's a French kiss. So when you rewatch it, you're like, oh.
Okay. A lot of them are saying, people commenting on it were saying, like, Disney movies have a lot of jokes that you don't get until you're older.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
My first thought was, okay, in Beauty and the Beast, you know, there's a line where the Cogsworth goes, if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
Oh, my
God. As a kid.
Yeah, you don't get
overhead.
Oh, I didn't get that.
What? Ran overhead, and then I took, like, art history.
Baroque?
I went to art history class in college, and we studied Baroque architecture, which is a full. It's all in that movie.
I love Baroque, yeah.
And then like rewatched it, and I was like, I got it. That. Yep. I get it. I get art history now. But honestly, that's the one thing that stuck now.
Right.
I don't remember any of the other art styles, but I remember Baroque.
Baroque because of that.
Yeah.
That's funny. So this isn't something that I realized, but it's a story I was told about me as a kid. There was a commercial that came on for condoms, and I, as a child, as a small child, asked what condoms were.
Yeah.
And apparently, my mom and dad were both in the room, and my mom said, they're the things you put on your hot dog. Now, she meant condiments. She was trying to spin it into condiments.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But it didn't really go that direction.
Yeah.
So I thought, I didn't know. I was young. I was like, okay. But, like, my dad was dying, apparently, because, like.
Yeah.
She's like, condiments are what you put on your hot dog. But that's.
But did you ever try to put a condom on a hot dog?
Nope. Not once.
So I don't know if this is the same thing, but I was going through my family picture album.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture of me probably 5 years old with a cast on my leg. And I was like, Mom, I broke my leg? No one told me this? And then I've tried to ask my parents and my family about this all the time, and they don't want to talk about it.
Really?
And I try to ask my brother about it, and he's like, yeah, it didn't happen. But no one wants to tell me.
What
I don't
the
know.
If, fuck?
I know. Is it are you just embarrassed, or is there some shady shit happening that no one's telling me about my broken leg?
I feel like somebody beat the shit out of you and you don't remember because it was that
blocked
bad.
Blocked it out of my head. Yeah,
and it was blocked out. Your brain was just there's no need for you to remember any of this.
I was shocked.
Or
to
you
know
got
that
hit
I had
by
a broken
a car.
Leg.
I'm imagining all the scenarios.
Oh, he was trying to drive a car, accidentally ran me over. I don't know, but
because clearly it wasn't something you did, because you would have remembered it if it was something
you did.
The story is that we were jumping on the bed, me and my brother, and we were play fighting.
Your brother tried,
and then
to
I
kill
fell
you.
Off, and then I broke my leg.
I don't know if I believe that.
No, I feel like you would remember that. I feel like maybe someone tried to off you, and then they were.
But I feel
like
I would remember that even more.
No, but
you know,
you
I usually remember when people try to kill me.
Like Luis is a little kid just running around doing his thing,
being loud and annoying.
And then your brother just came at you with a bat and hit your leg from behind, and
actually,
you were knocked out.
I can totally see that because I was super loud. I was loud and obnoxious and always asked questions. Annoying, so I can easily see.
I feel like it was a day.
I think it was your mom.
Yeah.
I think you're.
She would never do that.
Wait. It would be. How spoiled were you?
I was the baby of the family. I was pretty spoiled.
Oh, then maybe. Maybe it was your mom.
No. It must have been my brother. I know my mom.
I have a feeling it was your brother, especially if your brother won't tell you.
Oh my gosh. Imagine you have a little baby on you're changing the diaper and you just go, and you just break the leg.
Oh,
you got to go on YouTube to see what I just did.
Maybe don't.
Maybe don't.
It's very graphic.
Is that the same thing where people have that weird instinct of if you see something really cute, you want to squish it?
Oh,
and
you
want
to squish
it.
Eat it.
And then you just you hate that feeling because you're that would kill it. That would be the worst.
Yeah, I just want to squish it. Yeah.
I have my cat, one of them, Chewy. I squeeze him until he goes.
And
it's so funny. But he lets me go for a good while.
Because he likes the hugs.
He likes the hugs.
Just a little too much love.
I used to have a pet hamster that I'm like, you're so cute. And I was just like, and I would be too nervous to hold it after a while because I would have the instinct of I want to squish
it. Feel like clouds.
Because they're so cute. They're so
just
cute.
Squish it,
and I'm just
disappears in your fingers.
No, if I hold on to you, because they're also wiggling around in your hand. If you hold on to it too tight, sometimes their eyes kind of
bug out a little bit.
And I'm totally. No. And I would put it back in the cage because I would be so afraid that I would be that person to be like, you're so cute, and squish it. And I'm like,
but it was cute. Sorry.
the other thing for me is like just realizing the way that the world, like it not now, but probably when I was like 19 or 20, realizing the way the world worked. And like that, it wasn't the way that I thought the world. Just previously, yeah. It wasn't the way
get
I thought
that
the world.
Shit. It's not
yeah,
fun.
It happens sometimes, but like, I mean, like that when you're a kid and you're in a store and you're like, I want that toy. Why can't I have that toy? And your parents are like, you can't have that toy. And you think it's just them being mean or them just not wanting to buy you something. But it's like, no. When I was young, we did not have a ton of. I mean, we were not like super poor, but we didn't have a ton of money. And we didn't have money to just go and buy,
yeah,
you know,
whatever
you wanted. And so it's just interesting to know, like, oh, like as I and I don't know, I honestly don't know the circumstances back then because I don't remember. But like me looking at it now, if I were to have a kid, because my parents had me around the age that I am now, like if I had a kid now, I wouldn't have the money to be able to buy all the, like, it would be such a financial
absolutely
burden.
Not,
yeah. I mean, I think it's also a different world, right? Like, we live in a very different economic world than they did. But still, I mean, it was still hard. And, like, just looking at the way that they had to do things and the way that I acted as a kid or that I remember acting and, like, not understanding that money had value in the way that I understand it has value now was just fascinating because when I was, like, you know, 12 or 13, it's like I thought I knew the idea of money having value because I had to earn money to, you know, I mow the lawn for money and whatever. But like now I really understand what it means.
Yeah.
And it's like now I get it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's just the way the world works.
So you're saying you had the experiences of maybe believing in a certain worldview and thinking things that are away and then getting severely disappointed when bad shit might happen to you, say like, you know, losing your dad or something like that. Maybe that's like a sympathetic thing. Maybe you thought the world was one way.
Is this a reference to Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying maybe you thought the world was one way. You were taught and everyone around you, literally everyone around you except your little sister who you fought with, told you that things are a certain way. And then it all goes to shit. And a little partially on your part, too, because you were told
things. What did I do? I didn't do anything. You know, you put the blame on me.
Yeah,
I didn't do anything.
This is me talking about Sansa.
Oh, okay.
Like,
we would change.
You know, but also, like, your dad was just as naive, literally just as naive. Some would say that maybe Sansa's very Ned-like in that way.
Naive.
You know, a little naive.
Who's
a little. Like, there's a lot of people, Sansa and Ned are very similar in their naivety and believing that the world would work a certain way.
Yeah, 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 totally.
And should follow certain rules and things like that. Also why I'm very defensive of Sansa, because she is very Ned-like
she is
in
very
that
Ned-like.
Way.
Yeah.
And Ned's cool.
Okay, how do you take, TK wants to know, how do you take compliments?
Oh, that's actually a good question.
Yeah, it's a really good
Depending
question.
Depending on what the compliment is.
So you probably experience this more than we do.
If it's on my appearance, I generally just say it's a quick thank you, and like, because I've it's better than being like no, because I'm like I also know what I look like.
Right.
I'm vain, like I'm not ugly. So if someone's like, oh, you're pretty, it's like, oh, thank you, and I like kind of move on. I don't like try to dismiss.
That
when
seems
like
the best way to do it.
Yeah, but when it's like work and stuff, that's harder.
Yeah,
I know it's not the best, but
right.
When people go, it's really good, I'm just kind of like huh. And I try to do the same thing of like thank you, but sometimes I'll add, I'm like, oh, but I'm still working on it, I want it to be better, like I try to add onto it without dismissing the compliment outright, because
right.
It was actually, this was from like a Harmontown podcast forever ago, because Dan Harmon was talking about how he always had a hard time accepting any compliments or anything like that. Someone told him that when you tell somebody, if you dismiss somebody's compliment and you tell them that they're wrong, you're telling that person that they have bad taste. And that in itself is rude. Because the whole point of you trying to be modest is you're trying to be polite. You're trying to
And so you're undermining that by not.
So as soon as that clicked in my head of like, oh, as soon as you tell somebody they're wrong, you're telling that person they have bad taste and that they're bad. And it's just made me go, oh, never again. Well, like if someone says something nice to me about that stuff, I always try to go, like, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then if I need to add on, like, I'm still working on being better, or I'm still trying to, like, do more, just because I don't want to give someone the feeling of telling someone that they have bad taste.
Yeah. I just don't know what to say, like, to do after you say, oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. And there's always that awkward, like, that moment where you're like,
awkward, like, still moment, like, okay, well, all right, well, goodbye.
I usually try, I used to be really awkward at it, especially with work. Because I don't know, it's different when it's like a compliment about you as a person. Because that's almost harder, I feel like, for me to be like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like me the way I, like, I don't know, what the fuck, whatever.
That's why it's easier to compliment people, like, what they're wearing, a haircut, things like that, because there's an active decision-making process in that.
Right, as opposed to what
Where it's like, I like that shirt you're wearing, because like, you picked out that shirt. Or if somebody else picked out that shirt, like, at least, like, it's like, that thing looks good on you, good combination.
Right.
You know?
I found myself, I don't do it consciously, but I think subconsciously, when somebody says they like something, I ask them what part they like what specifically do you like about it, and then from there I say, what do you think, what did you not get, or what do you, because I find too that there's a lot of people, especially in this industry, and you know, we're all kind of guilty of it, but like a lot of people who go, oh, that's really good, and then move on, and you never get. There's some people who just are too hard, like who are really mean and not nice, and like there's plenty of those too. But I found with people that, especially people that I'm close with, that like I'll have something that I've made, and then like I'll present it, like even to my dad, like I'll send him something and just for an example, it happens with everybody, so it's, I'm not singling him out, but it's just like in general, like he would go, oh, it's really good, I really like it, and then I go, cool, what did you think about this part? Or did you get, what was a part, were any parts that you were confused on? Or what specifically did you like? And that changes it into me being able to gather information so that the next time I do it, or the next draft I do, I can change things that didn't work, and I can make the things, I can keep those things that they really liked and use them for the you know, for the next time that I do whatever in that style. So that's the way I kind of have to turn it so that it doesn't turn awkward for me.
I do.
It becomes work.
I do appreciate when people are more specific about compliments.
What they do like specifically, especially work related.
Because the more general you are, the more like I'll tend to dismiss, like, oh, okay.
I think if somebody says, yeah, it's great, and I go, what do you like about it? They go, oh, well, it seems like it's really well done. I'm like, okay, you don't really like it, or you don't know what you like about it. Maybe they do like it, but like, I don't know, I dismiss those easier than, or like, not dismiss it, but like, it feels less.
It doesn't reach you.
Yeah, if somebody's like, I really like what you did there with this part.
Right.
That tends to be like, oh, yeah, that. So my thinking with that was this.
Yeah.
You know, or did you, or sometimes I won't tell them, go, what did you, like, I did an interview for Roots with Mark. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Hold on.
I have it. Mark, I'm sorry.
We're sorry, Mark. Would you like to come out for some grunge? We haven't said that in a while. I got to bring it back.
You got to bring it back. Anyway, I did an interview with him on Roots, and he asked about the body horror thing and about like Roots being body horror, and it was interesting because I didn't even think about it being body horror.
Of course, it's body horror.
Right, but that didn't. But the bigger story is not really revolved around that body horror, like the fact that she has roots growing out of her feet and like this thing growing out of her back. But that's not the focus of the series.
That's a consequence.
It just happens to be a thing that gets us from one place to another.
Yeah.
But it's not the focus of the series. The focus of the series is her relationship with all of the people around her, and like what, and then her also.
It's your at least visual hook in the beginning.
Right. Exactly. It is. I mean, Mark Dixon. Sorry, Mark. I didn't remember your last name.
It's literally the cover.
It's literally the cover with roots growing out of her feet and her being rooted in the ground. But it was interesting because I never thought about it as horror, and I never thought about it specifically as body horror. And so his perspective on that gave me a new perspective on it where I was like, oh shit, this kind of feels, because the whole series is not really, it is kind of horror. It's horror in the way that Game of Thrones is horror, right? Yeah. Like there is a looming threat. And it was interesting because there are so many similarities between Game of Thrones and Roots that I had no idea existed. But there are these creatures that exist that are on the other side of this wall, mm-hmm. that the wall is what used to keep them separated, mm-hmm. and so but those creatures have now passed over that wall and have breached that, so it's like, but that is a very basic concept of like, and inside the wall is like the good and outside the wall is the bad, and that's kind of the whole setup of Roots, is that there is this divider between them. It used to be a wall, now it's a river because the river burns, and so anyway it separates them. But it was just interesting because it gave me this whole new perspective on the way that I'm approaching the story, and so it was fascinating to kind of get that feedback. It wasn't, I mean, it was definitely complimentary, but it was more like he was asking questions about what the property was and making me think about it in a way that I hadn't really thought about it before. That's because great. I was focused on the whole big picture, right? Like how this thing plays out, and just focusing on that one issue is like, oh wow, there are pieces of this that I didn't even analyze.
That's why those people are great. Those critics, they can really summarize something that you don't even know what it is. This is like, oh yeah.
And I've been working on the story for so long that
then
it's like
you do the artist thing where you're like, I totally meant that from the beginning.
Right.
That was my intent.
I try not to do that. But sometimes it comes. I mean, but the thing is like the story of Roots itself has taken on kind of a life of its own, in the sense that like the world has almost started to build itself. Like if I told you that I've created like a whole new physics system, like thrown out atoms and molecules and create a whole system from the ground up of how.
I feel like you told me this.
I think
like,
we talked about briefly at SourceFed.
Like when you first were like, I have this idea, and then you started going, and I'm like, oh, this is a lot to process, and I kind of like zoned out toward the end because I was like, I can't, like,
you can't,
like,
yeah.
It was a lot
of stuff.
It was a lot.
There's a whole world that's being but the world itself kind of presented itself to me and Christina, my writing partner on it when we were developing it. And so when I find new things that I didn't think about in the beginning, I kind of just embrace it as like, we found so many things during the development process that I had no idea were gonna make themselves mm-hmm. known and we're going to work, that like every time something like that happens, I just kind of have to accept that it's just the world itself, the world building itself, as opposed to me actively like I'm trying to catch the train as it's riding by. I'm not making the train.
Totally.
You know what I mean? But anyway, his website is Panel Patter. If you want to go check it out.
Panel
Patter? PanelPatter. If you want to go check it out.
Beautiful.
He does lots of reviews and they have a team of people and they're Eisner nominated and they're fantastic. So go check that out.
Great.
When someone gives you a compliment, what immediately happens right afterward?
Afterwards?
Like, hesitation.
Like that instinctual, like,
I say, oh, thank you. And then there's a hesitation of like, how do I spin this?
I try to compliment them.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do like, oh, like thanks, man. Well, you know, it's okay. But, you know, you did a really good job with this thing.
That's
know?
A really good technique too. Yeah.
And then, but then I feel like,
but then you're putting it back on them.
Yeah, I also feel like I kind of like, you know, made their compliment sound like shit, you know, because I kind of like dismissed it.
Right.
And I kind of see them do like,
as long as you say thank you. As long as you say the thank you.
I got to keep a solid, okay, thank you.
Like it has to be, you can't hesitate on the thanks.
Yeah.
And you can't deny or reverse any of the compliment. You can't just be like, I'm trying to think of like appearance wise, it's harder to do. Like with work stuff, it's like, it's the instinct is there to be like, oh no, it's not that great. Like don't put down the thing that they just compliment you for.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's important.
I always want to know whether it's true though. That's like my biggest, like I'll ask questions about things too to make sure that they actually read it or they
actually
did it.
You gotta Sherlock it.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, what, like, what specific, like, that's
what really did you
mean.
Like about it?
Well, no, I mean, it's more, it came out of, honestly, it came out of me sending things to people or having people and them saying they liked it, but then not knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think they read that. And so part of me asking what specifically they liked is me analyzing it and trying to figure out what it is.
Passive aggressiveness.
But also, well, no. It's partly, it's honestly, it was mostly me wanting to know what worked and what didn't. But out of that came this, sometimes people were like, well, I'm about halfway through it. And you're
right.
Like, oh, okay.
Oh, so you didn't really, yeah.
And that's fine. It's fine. I just, if you haven't read it, I don't want to. I love the look to the camera. Yeah. You missed that if you're listening to it. But
yeah, there's a lot more looks to the camera.
We're doing an office style. But it's fine. And I get like people are super busy and I don't want to ever burden somebody with the things that I'm doing. I just, if I want to know specifics about what it is, because for me, the reason why I want people to read it is so that I know what works, because I'm still learning as a writer and as a creator. And it's like, I want to know what works and what doesn't.
You just got to give things to people and then just don't expect them to ever read or look at it.
But see, I need somebody. Yeah, but
That's what I've been doing with Ruby.
Feedback.
I've been giving friends Ruby. And then when I've been getting feedback, I'm like, oh, you actually read it.
Yeah.
Like, I need to
get a signed copy of Ruby.
You do.
You do. You got the first one.
The messed up one?
No.
The first one.
Was it messed up? Oh, I guess the marker didn't work.
You told me not to take it.
We're going to do a new one.
You said you wanted to give me a new...
Hold on.
I also have to... I might have to head out.
Okay. We'll wrap it up.
I'm trying to see a show.
Oh, okay. Really quick, if you want to go get Ruby or you want to go get Roots or Planetborn, which is the card game they're working on that I'm really excited about...
We should put that here next time.
Oh, yeah, we should. I'll bring one in.
Yeah.
If you want to pick up any of those, I also am doing something called Dimensions that I've talked about that's really exciting. I'm releasing issue 2. I gave you issue 2.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to hear what you think.
We
can dive in because there
haven't
been very
many. We'll get tomorrow.
We'll get tomorrow. There are not very many people who have read it, so I'm excited. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Your microphone's falling. I think that's a sign. But if you want to go get those, you can go to embryostudios.com. And you can pick those up, and that really helps us because we have a bunch of these that we've already ordered, and we want them to go to people that want to read and play and you know, look at things.
Did you say RubyWhipple.com?
RubyWhipple.com is live. So if you want to go read the webcomic, the first issue is up on there. If you want a hard copy of it, it's only $3 on the website.
That's only $3. Stop getting Starbucks and get a goddamn Ruby Whipple.
and if you listen to here, thank you so much. We'll be at Long Beach Comic Con actually tomorrow when this goes up. It'll be Friday when this goes up.
Yeah.
So we will be at Long Beach Comic Con on Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. The two of us will. Are you going to stop by?
I don't know if I
can. Okay. But we're going to be there.
Louis is like, I have a life and things. Sorry.
I wanted to. I just can't.
C18 is our table number in Artist Alley. So come by and visit us. We're having a free raffle. So you have the chance to win something for free. You can pick up signed copies of all the stuff that we've done.
Mm-hmm. Sam and DJ are going to be there?
Sam and DJ will be there on Sunday. So if you want to see them, come by on Sunday.
If you want to see The Flash.
Want to see The Flash? Come by on Sunday. that's kind of my plugs for right now. But we're really excited. Things are much cheaper. Not much cheaper, but they're pretty cheap already. But they're even cheaper at the con. Ruby's only $1. And Plantborn's only 12. So
how Spencer get his money back that he's invested?
Yeah,
because
I invest a lot of money into this shit. And then Dimensions normally $3 each. You can get the two issue 1 and 2 for only 5. So really
beautiful.
Exciting. I know you have to head out.
I do. I got a show to see.
Goodbye.
What show are you going to see?
Gas.
Logan Lucky?
No.
Hamilton?
It's the Groundlings alumni student and something else show. It's like they bring their alumni, they bring their students, and then they bring their another company together.
Cool.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
They have a guest, so it's like a little, a little show.
And then, you should go because I don't want you to be late. I was just going to talk about Hamilton for 10 seconds, but Star and I can finish it out.
Yeah, you want to finish it out?
Yeah. Well, are you going to take you need to take the video.
Oh, I got to take the video.
Okay. We'll talk about Hamilton next time.
Yeah.
It's not important. It's not happening
not
yet.
It's super important. Like, we'll have a fandom thing.
Because we're going to see it. Basically, Star and I and Hannah.
September 10th with Kenny.
With Kenny from SourceFed.
Yeah. Also, think of I need a new fandom, you guys. Like he got Game of Thrones. He's into Potter.
Oh, yeah.
You need a new fandom.
I'm already part of a lot. So there might not be any good ones left.
You're good.
I'm sure
you'll get
there
some.
Are good
There's
going
to be some. Slack it. You have it.
I need the next Potter. I need the next Game of Thrones.
The Color of Magic, I think it's called.
Is that going to be big or is that going to be like this tiny little?
I really liked it.
I
can't remember what it's called. Anyway, I'll find it for you. I'll send another video.
Okay, cool.
All right. Goodbye, 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 goodbye forever.
Bye, bye.
And we're out, baby.
And we're out.